Hey there, welcome to the Capoeira Podcast, episode 15. If you notice when listening, Eugene is not here. He is working on another project on his own for an upcoming episode of the show, so he will be back with us next time. But I hope you enjoy this conversation with Luis that I like to entitle Drunken Joda. It's where we basically day drank and just talked about his journey into Capoeira, so we hope you enjoy it. We hope you like to laugh, and here it is. Hey, Luis.
Hey, Jammers. How's it going?
This is Esperta.
Pinguin.
And this is the Capoeira Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you notice, Eugene is not here. Mm. I have a guest with me, my best friend, Luis.
Jamie and I have known each other for many, many years, not only inside of Capoeira, but outside. We are cooking partners. We are...
I don't know him in the biblical way, thank
God. Not in the biblical way, no. But we've known each other for quite some time. We have cried together. We have cried upon each other. We have kicked each other in the face. So we have a lot of history that goes outside of Capoeira.
So this week I'm going to have Luis with me, and this week we are going to, well, let's get some stuff out of the way. We have some events up and coming in the next few weeks. Do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, please? Okay, so starting this month, April 17th, every third Friday, Valley Capoeira Batuqui out in Canoga Park is going to be hosting an open joda that is open to everyone. No whites required, you can come in your casuals. So that'll be every third Friday starting at 7:30. That's for kids, adults, whomever. You know, you can come and play, bang an instrument, clap your hands. Everyone's welcome.
Are you going to be wearing pajamas?
I always wear pajamas. I love my cozies. My cozies are great.
And I know it's a far drive for some of you guys living out in L.A., but there is an In-N-Out across the street.
And actually, you can take the Orange Line. The Orange Line that drops you off on the... I think the easiest way is the Canoga Station, and then you have to walk maybe two blocks. That takes about 15 to 20 minutes max. I mean, even if you're the slowest walker, but to make it out to the Orange Line, Canoga Station, to be in class by 7:30, worth the trip. Worth the trip. We have people coming from Pasadena, South Bay, downtown LA. So, you know, if you can't make it this month, try to make it next month or any of the third Fridays.
Yeah, awesome. What other events do we have?
Let's see. I know you wrote down some stuff here. You want to get these?
Okay. So April 16th to the 19th in North Carolina at Duke University, Abada is having their first bachizado along with a special Mestre Apache from Brazil. He's going to be making his first visit to the U.S. If you're in North Carolina, come and check that out. That should be fun. If you're in Europe, there's a couple events. April 17th to the 19th, Cordel Giotto Norwich in Europe, in England, will be there. Special guest star Papa Leguas will be there. On April 24th, Grupo Negasa Capoeira is going to be having their second bachizado in Cambridge, England. So if you're out in that area, definitely check that out. It should be really fun.
And if you're taking a holiday out in May... Fort Lauderdale, Corpo Movimento, Mestre Pelez Studio, they're having their bachizado. He only told me it was April 9th, but I'm sure there's a couple of days before and after that. But April 9th is the main bachizado, so check that out. I think the website is www.corpoemovimento.com.
So I just searched on Google.
Yeah, easy. Well, the thing is, if you search that on Google, you'll probably come up with the school out in either Pasadena or in Bahia, Brazil, where his teacher's based out of.
Nice. And I was going to say, I know we plugged this last episode, but since you are part of the Valley, if you would like to plug your event again.
That's right. April 24th, 25th, and 26th is Valley Capoeira Batuqui's first bachizado. 24th will be all workshops. I believe the 25th will be some workshops and the actual bachizado, and the 26th will be open joda and barbecue at the Warner Center Park in Woodland Hills.
Oh, nice.
No. So,
Eugene. Fuck, I'm sorry. I just called you Eugene.
No, it's okay. Do I look like him?
No, I'm just so used to taping with him.
I know.
So, I'm sorry about that.
No. You guys have a great synergy, and that's why I love it. Like, Hi, this is Eugene. How you doing? My name's Animado. I work at Trader Joe's. I'm first mate. Would you like some cheddar and caramel popcorn? Would you like some? Oh, I'm sorry, but our flavored mineral water is in the front display. What you have to do is bring your car to the cashier's, but then you have to inconvenience yourself to get it outside in the front. Would you like a bag? It's 10 cents. Yes, it's paper. What do you mean you want plastic? You can't have plastic, you cunt. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want barbecue shrimp? It's in our frozen section. Have it with our scallops. Oh, you want tuna? We have two tuna fillets. It's $10. You put it in your oven for 15 minutes at 325. No, not 350, you stupid bitch. You put it at 325. I'm Eugene. They call me Animado. Oh, wait. What do you mean I don't sound Filipino? I am Filipino. I'm Filipino from Philadelphia. That's two pHs. I'm very pH balanced. Oh,
I'm fucking dying right now. No, I'm gonna fucking put that in.
Oh my god. Oh, Eugene, you know I love you. You son of a bitch,
oh my
I love
god,
you.
My
oh. Oh god, I love you, Eugene.
Oh man, I'm fucking crying.
I'm Eugene! What do you mean you want to know what the organic man is? Go have a tortilla and a scallion. It's like having a garlic and an onion, you fuck.
My stomach fucking hurts so bad.
Oh my god. The first two episodes with Mark, it was more like interviewing Harrison Ford. For example, like, ask me a question. Just, like, ask me, like, a deep question.
What do you think, if you were to pick one film as your legacy would be?
Is this a movie I'm in? Because if it's a movie that I'm not in, Wings.
Wings, that's a show.
Mm-mm. It was on. It was the first film to win the Oscar for Best Picture. It was a silent film. Really, you don't know about that movie? Wings?
I don't. I just thought about
it. Wings was the first film to win the Best Picture. It was a silent film. Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
So, hey, what's up?
Hello.
Hey, nice butt cheeks. That's going to be there. No, we can talk about, let this go.
Well, first, let's introduce, did you technically introduce yourself?
Yeah, I just briefly did, but then
okay.
There's going to be backstory. Like, I don't know, you've been to other schools, right?
Not to,
No, but you've, okay. Hold on, don't, keep this on.
I want this, okay.
You want this? Okay. You had spoken about, how you had visited a school, I want to say in Seattle, or was it Utah? This was after you got your monitor cord, and, you know, you had some... Was it Seattle? Yeah. So, when you visit a school, because you've been doing it for so long, you know that there's an etiquette to follow. Like we were discussing earlier, you know, you go to your relative's house, you know to take your shoes off. You go to your friend's mm-hmm. relative's house, you know how to ask for even a glass of water. You know, so there's always something different when you go visit another school, or even worse, when you join a new school.
Yes.
You know. You've been with Capoeira Batuque for so long, and I think the biggest jump is you went from Valley to the Pasadena one.
Which is different in itself.
Right. It's the same school, but it's still someone else's house.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you find the difference between the Valley and the Pasadena?
I think that it's a little bit more laid back. Not a lot of stress on, like, endurance,
mm-hmm.
as it's a little bit more physically demanding at the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Music is much more particular at Pasadena.
Right. No, and Xingu has got the reputation of we have the heat on. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much circuit training capoeira.
Yes.
You know, and that helps.
Yes.
You know, we're not in Denver where we're, like, in this high altitude and
yeah.
we're working on... everything is conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a matter of, like, I like this house better than this house. It's, you know, this house has something different to offer than that yes. house. You know?
Absolutely.
Now, for me personally, like, I started in Fort Lauderdale back in... Oh my God, 9 years ago, 9 years ago in March, like we had plugged earlier, Corpo Movimento from Fort Lauderdale. That's the school I come from.
Mm-hmm.
So I was out there from 2005, living in Florida, but I didn't start training until 2006. So up until the end of 2007. So coming back out here, I had gone through several schools. It just didn't work out. It wasn't the right fit, or I got kicked out, you know. It wasn't for lack of etiquette, in my opinion. It could be, you know, someone else can interpret it that way, but it wasn't. I had gone to Contramestre Guy's studio over in...
Is it Bellflower?
Or Bellflower, the Bellflower studio, yeah. yeah. I just didn't live out in that area long enough to join that school because I was mm-hmm. living in Whittier with my father. I had gone to Batata School, amazing school, but again, it's too far for
Santa
me.
Monica.
Yeah. I had gone through another school in Sherman Oaks, and the style just, it wasn't a good fit. You
what
know,
school was that?
It was Valley Cap, not Valley Caparo, was it Caparo? What's it called again? I forgot, but it's Contramestre Parafina.
Los Angeles Caparo.
Yeah, Los Angeles, no, Caparo Los Angeles, or something, no, Los Angeles Caparo, what is it called again? It doesn't matter, but I was with him for a while, and the guy is great at movement, but it just wasn't a good fit, and mm-hmm. I really hope you don't edit this out. You know, because for some people, what he
does... If you don't want me to edit this
no,
out,
no,
no,
because for what people do, what he does is great.
Mm-hmm.
But it just wasn't a good fit. Like, for example, like, I hate to say this, but you may try on a pair of shoes, they look great, but when you walk, you kind of got a limp. It's just not for you. No, I
get it.
And then I had gone to Contramestre Gym. At the time, he was still... No, actually, he wasn't professor at the time. The first time I came to visit, he was Professor Jim out in Pasadena. Same association as my school in Fort Lauderdale. There's three schools that I know of. There's the original in Bahia with Mestre Angola.
Mm-hmm.
My teacher, Mestre Pele, in Fort Lauderdale. And now Contramestre Jim in Pasadena. Contramestre Jim teaches a strict, strict Angola class. And... I had gone there. I was living in Van Nuys at the time. So I wasn't driving, so I would have to take public transportation, which would take me 2 hours each way from Van Nuys to Pasadena. And Contramestre Jim welcomed me. I took a few classes, obviously, because it was a mixture. My background was a mixture of Angola and Regional, so a lot of it was too sped up. So he would always tell me, slow down, but he never meant it in a criticizing way. It was more constructive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But him and I, in front of a couple of his students, had a conversation about what my plans, what my goals were as far as Capoeira was involved. And I told him, you know, I still had my loyalties to my teacher in Fort Lauderdale. And I don't know if he necessarily agreed with that, because he thought I'd be bringing bad habits, or what he would consider bad habits. So, after four classes, he met me at a coffee shop out in Highland Park. And he said, maybe it's not working out. You should probably look into joining other schools. So, I was essentially kicked out. I was asked to leave. This was after four classes. And the reason I emphasize on that is this. I had paid in advance for the month. He was charging $120.
Mm-hmm.
Each drop in class was $30. It still is, I believe. So
that's pricey.
It is. It's steep, but some people charge that.
That needs
to
have a hand job at the end.
No, but I can see where that's coming from now, because you weed out the lurkers, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you're a real capoeirista, the teacher's going to drop it down to $20.
Yeah.
You know,
at least 20.
At least 20, maybe 15. So after he asked me to leave, like, he asked me to resign, I'm like, well, can I get a refund on the $120 that I paid for the month? And what he said to me was, well, the classes are $30 each. you've taken 4 classes. I kind of can't take that away from the studio, which maybe that was true, but he was charging $30
mm-hmm.
per class. And after the 4th class, which accumulated to 120, I was asked to leave. And that's unfortunate because we come from the same background. We come from, you know, the same master, and it hurt my feelings a lot. It kind of pushed me away from capoeira, but it also opened my eyes to the politics, mm-hmm. which is something that I am scared beyond anything. Mm-hmm. There's politics involved in capoeira, and whenever something trivial like that comes up, I want to leave the room as fast as possible.
Okay.
It's like watching my parents about to divorce again. I don't want to hear that, like, ah, shit, don't bring me into this.
No, I get it. You know, I feel really bad when I go and I hear stuff about schools like this because I feel like I'm really privileged to be a part of school where I can train wherever I want. Mm-hmm. No one is going to ask about my ulterior motives. My teacher won't ask about why I'm not at this event and I'm at this event instead. It's hard because I've never really faced politics like that. Right. I've faced other politics from other schools where they don't agree with what I've done.
But
such
you don't,
as like
you don't
training
feel that
at multiple schools. But
as higher
from
you're
my
getting
teacher.
In the, you know, in capoeira, you don't feel any of the politics?
I mean, I have some different like opinions about certain things, like just about how I mean, I feel like how people should conduct themselves.
And just to clarify, I don't mean politics in the sense of responsibilities, you know, because you get to a certain point and your teacher will entrust you with certain mm-hmm. responsibilities. That's not politics. That's just continuing to grow you.
Right.
You know, so I don't want to equate the two. You know, responsibilities and politics, two different things.
I do know what the politics
apart.
Are in capoeira, but I've never really gotten to anything where I've been in some sort of a confrontation. Okay, so at that time, it was 2009.
Mm-hmm.
This is when I first met you, by the way. I didn't really get to know you.
We didn't meet in class.
We met at Jimmy's pool. And I just remember I had come from an Angola Joda where I just got my ass handed to me.
Oh, wow.
I was like third chord, second chord.
Jesus.
I just went to a random Angola Joda. Didn't know what was going on. I played a few times. It's actually on YouTube. I'm not even going to say what the link is.
No, say
you
it.
Could, no, I don't even know the link, but I know it's on YouTube. My game was on YouTube. But I remember coming back.
So
night.
What if someone...
It was July 4th.
What if someone
That's
Googles,
when I met you.
No, what if someone Googles YouTube, Capoeira Angola, Jammers,
no,
Esperta,
it's not gonna, no,
Jamie,
no. It's a
Valley,
really random... I just remember it was on...
Little Girl.
No.
Something. I mean, I'm just giving everyone like...
If they can find it, they can find it, but... I mean, it could show how much
my game
has grown.
Oh my god, I'm pulling
it
up right now. Why aren't you wearing clothes? I'm kidding.
But I mean, I'm just saying, I remember meeting you. It was July 4th. It was 2008.
No, 9. It was
no,
9.
It was 2008.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Because...
That's when I first met you. You were with...
No.
Yeah, you were.
No, this was 2009.
No, it was 2008.
Are you sure?
I will put money on it.
No, I believe you. I
put a 6-pack of what I'm drinking on it.
Oh, Four Loko? Thanks. Here's the thing. No, because I honestly thought I moved. It was Four Loko. It's watermelon, Four Loko. I thought I moved out here August of 2008.
It was late 2008 when I had met you.
Okay, so it was. Oh my god. Okay.
It was at Jimmy's house at a pool. 4th of July, because I remember.
It was you and I. Tony.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, Tony was there.
Tony was not there.
Oh my god, really?
He was there. Because I remember that was, he like stripped off his clothes and went fucking down to his speedos.
Well, always took his clothes off. Oh, really? Oh, don't edit that. Seriously, edit that out. Okay, no, I'm kidding. Don't edit that. Edit it.
I just remember that was the first time I met you, but you were like, you were moving in with him.
With who?
With Potterfina.
Oh, yeah, I lived with him for a month. Yeah, that's right.
You were like, yeah, I'm going to be living in the Valley. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you meet so many people in capoeira, and especially when you're kind of new, it's all not overwhelming, but you're just like, ah, cool, okay,
it's a place of, you know what it was? At that time, I had just moved back from Florida. My marriage fell apart, so I sought solace.
Not because of capoeira?
No, not because I was an asshole. I sought solace in the one place, you know, that felt comforting. So
which we all do.
So, Yeah, I moved in with Barafina for about a month, and it just, the rent was too rich for my blood. That's the truth. Nothing else.
I remember
else.
That
no,
house,
No, not, not, was... nothing else.
No, I remember seeing that place.
Yeah. It was a good place, but nice place. I couldn't afford it at the time. You know, I had just come back. I had no money whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I had gone through a depression at that time where I didn't train for maybe 9-10 months. And then one of my friends asked me, when was the last time you were happy? And I responded with, I was in a circle, people were clapping, and I was avoiding kicks to the face. So that's why I went back.
Right.
So, I had trained with Contramestre and Parafina. He was a friend. He invited me to live with him, and I just couldn't afford it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's what happened.
But that's when we first met.
That's when we first met.
And then after that, I kind of casually just saw you around classes when I would take on Sundays or whatever. And then I just remember you coming to the Valley around 2009.
Yeah, yeah, around 2009. I had, with Contramestre Parafina at the time, you had a contract. You either did a month-to-month, or you did a six-month contract. I might be remembering this incorrectly, but I signed up for 6 months, and after 6 months, I was like, this shoe does not fit. It's mm-hmm. it's not that it was a bad, it was a great class, but it just wasn't for my lumpy ass. I started going to the Valley class with Adrian. Remember Adrian? Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that was around 2009.
Yeah.
Nine.
And I remember the sweat box. Jesus Christ. I had come in from an air-conditioned room in Sherman Oaks to this so sweat box in Tarzana. I know, it was so cozy. But I remember not feeling miserable because it reminded me of what it was like training in Fort Lauderdale. Because in Florida, you have heat and humidity. I mean, you would open windows and doors just to let humid air come in.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked about Shingu. And with Shingu, he's very welcoming. Doesn't matter what background you're from, he's very welcoming.
I remember the first time I met him. I don't even think I properly met him when I first met him. I observed a class. And the funniest thing is, I don't even think it was the class that impressed me. I think just watching him laugh
mm-hmm.
and act like a little kid when someone had a move yes. at the end of class. There was something about his energy that just, I was like,
there's that this playfulness. Is going to be fun.
It was not fun in class when I was first
But it was fun for me because...
But I mean, you could feel his energy and it's almost, to me it was like a... It's like you saw him as a boy. It was yeah. like this boyish, like a little kid.
There's a certain intensity about him that I liked. Where I had come from in Florida, we exercised the combat aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas other schools that I had been to here,
it's very like,
the moves are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look great on the YouTube highlight reel.
So great.
But I wanted to train the combat aspect. And right. Shingu was very, very, you know, combative about that. You know, he'd have us do full contact. Mm-hmm. He'd teach us how to grapple. But he was very welcoming, and he wasn't intimidated or wary of where I came from before. He was like, where'd you come from? Oh, that's awesome. Like, even if he didn't know what teacher I came from, he was like, that's great. Come mm-hmm. on in.
Yeah.
You know, have some chicken wings. He didn't have chicken wings. He was very inviting. And even to this day, I still wear my Florida pants.
And he just says nothing about it.
He has said nothing about it. Although, Bachizado is coming up, and he only asks that I have clean whites, which I do, but I still wear my Florida pants. My Florida pants are like they're like 4 years old. The ass is completely black.
Did you wear
black.
Your Florida pants at Bachizado in 2013?
I did. Those are the same ones, yeah. Yeah, and they're dirty in the butt, and I don't care. I flow great with them. But Shingu is very welcoming, and that's... He is about the art, about the community of it all. But I know he hates the politics. I'm speaking for him, and that makes me uncomfortable. But I know he's not about the politics.
You know, it's hard, because I feel like nobody wants politics, but... You know, when you're a part of a school, you do develop... standards, you develop what you want. You develop what you think should be because of what someone has taught you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I even say that And I feel like when I think about it, I'm completely like two-faced sometimes. I don't even want to. I don't want to say two-faced, but that's the only way I could say it.
Right.
I don't want to say hypocritical either, but sometimes I feel like, well, yeah, you should be able to train wherever you want, but at the same time, there are still rules in place of not training, but conducting yourself and what you want. And I hate to say that, but I think everyone does need a teacher to be under for guidance.
Agreed. And I feel bad for advanced students who no longer have that tutelage, and they branch out on their own. It's lacking something, and I'm not speaking bad about it. It's more of a, like, I wish you had a hug kind of thing.
I agree with that. That's something that I was trying to verbalize right now.
And I'm not, and I'm
already
not putting,
buzzed
I'm not
from
put,
his one beer.
But I'm not putting anyone on blast. Alfred, for example, great capoeirista,
amazing.
I wish, you know, he had that hug. You know, from what I heard was he got kicked out of his school. And that's him and a professor got kicked out. I don't know what the circumstances were. It's sad. You know, it really is sad. Because Alfred is such a great person. Outside of capoeira, he's a great person, I think. But you do need that supervision. It is supervision.
See, when I think of this, it's really hard because I feel like... I try to look at two different views of what people may be thinking. I try to think of two sides of the coin.
Right.
And see, there's one thing where, like, yes, I hope he has guidance. But at the same time, I think people that don't have guidance will have to rise up and make their own destinies. And he showed it by having his first bachizado.
I know, which was incredible.
A couple weeks ago.
What I heard about it. And I'm like, good for him. That's incredible.
He is carving his own path and
good for,
his own legacy in this
school. Yeah, no, he totally is. Outside of capoeira, he's totally making his own mark. But, okay, you've run your own classes, right?
Yes.
So you've run your classes based on what you've learned from your teachers and on your own personality.
You know what? I like to... Even though I'm a fun person, I tend to be very analytical. I like to give explanations. I do, like I said, every time after class, I don't know if I've ever said this at podcast, but I do have special files where I document what we do in class. So that way when I can't move around or I can't, I'm bored, I like to stare at and visualize the movements for myself. In terms of my classes, I don't think they're zany like I am. I think they're, I think I do take after Kotomese Shingu because I've been with him for so long. And I do know for a fact that my school that I train with, Pasadena, is not used to the same discipline and endurance as the Valley is. And I feel like sometimes it's a shell shock to people.
Right.
Because I want a certain urgency. Like Shingu used to, I mean, he still does. He still does, requires, so there are times where I'm like, okay, guys, this is what I want, go ahead. And it's funny because I see this lag, and that's when you can see the calmness of Pasadena.
No, because
and
you
I
understand,
start to get mad.
Because you understand that what we do is a martial art. Everyone will look at it and be like, oh, you're doing pretty karate ballet.
You know what's hard? It's funny because, yeah, so I work at a kitchen. I'm a cook now, and they wanted me to work a job, and I said no. I'm training, and they said, "What do you train?" And I said, "Capoeira." And I get, I mean, I wish I had a dollar. If someone would give me a fucking dollar for, is it a dance? So is it a dance?
Yeah,
I almost
hear that.
Get like mad.
I don't anymore because you know what it is. What we do. What we do is secret.
Niche.
No, what we do is secret. And it is a martial art that's hidden behind a dance. That's my opinion.
And I was telling
so
him
when
that.
People,
like,
when people
I
mock
them
us,
it's an Afro-Brazilian
when people mock
from
us,
slaves.
When people mock us, in my head I think, if we're out and about and someone throws a punch at us or something,
of
God forbid.
Of course I'm not going
to. Yeah, I'm not going to Jenga. Yeah, I'm not going to say, everyone, clap.
I need space.
I need a rhythm.
I'm about to do
a
handspring.
What we do is secret, which is a blessing because no one expects us to defend ourselves. What we do is very effective. And slowly, it's being recognized by people that understand martial arts. You know, not just by people on the outside who don't know how to throw a punch. I mean, they'll throw the haymaker and everything. But people who train certain disciplines, whether it's Muay Thai, kickboxing, they're starting to openly acknowledge that what we do is a martial art. We're very unpredictable. And that's what I love about what we do. What we do is secret. Moving to a different place or visiting another school, well, there's two things.
Okay, visiting and moving are two different things. Because completely. If you can say visit, mm-hmm. I visited over 20 to 30 schools in the 10 years.
Have you had a bad experience? And have you had a fantastic...
Okay, define bad. Let's define bad experience.
Where you wouldn't go back. Okay, have you had an uncomfortable experience?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us that... No, seriously. Tell us that story.
I went to a school because...
Which school? No, I'm serious. Because consider this like the Yelp review. Like, this is my experience. You're not generalizing what the school is. You're talking about your experience.
Okay, I went to a school nearby. It was their they announced on Facebook that it was their first class ever.
Shingu? Oh my god. Is it Shingu? It's Shingu, isn't it?
It wasn't.
All right, edit that out. No, don't edit that. Keep that. Go ahead.
And I wanted to support because I was in the area and it was earlier than Shingu's classes. So I thought, oh, maybe I can possibly go to these schools. Mm-hmm. These classes instead of that class. I took a class. It was a little uncomfortable. And then I called Shingu later and told him about it. And Shingu just said, okay, that was good that you went and supported. And I never returned since.
That's what I like about him. He doesn't criticize you for doing that. It's like, oh, well, then you made a mistake. You messed up. He encourages you to learn. Go community.
Well,
community.
Also, I think that he knows that I take very seriously what he has said about going to other schools and conducting myself. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a difference between this school, Shingu's school and the school that I go to now, is that Shingu, it's funny because my head chef was, I have really good ears, and I remember her saying, you and Jammers always fucking interrupt me, and then you ask questions after whatever I tell you. And it was funny because I remember I was passing by, and I knew that my sous chef was talking about me, and I just said, sorry, chef, I like to think about the worst possible fucking scenario.
Right.
Ask you about it. That way when it happens, and in my lifetime of fucked up luck, it has happened, so I know what to do. So I'm one of those worst-case scenario type of persons where if this happens, what should I do if you're busy and you can't handle it and I need to handle it? And I'm always like that I've always been like that in every job, no matter how small it's been. I've always just made up the most craziest scenario, which has always happened.
That cannot just be occupational. That's got to be something that you just do in your personal life as well.
No, I do. And I do look for that guidance. But, I mean, I think I remember going... I remember the very first out of traveling school I went to was New York. And I remember he gave a scenario. And I took that to heart of how to conduct myself.
Mm.
And you know what? Every time I've gone to a school, I've always been somewhat commended, or people have always just been like, just happy with my performance because I go in there completely with respect, whites, nice whites, clean whites, very humble. I'll go to the end of the line even though my rank is pretty high and they know.
Oh. Now I feel bad because when I go visit other schools...
You just go to the front?
No, I don't go to the front. I don't take my whites. I take street capoeira clothes.
You want to go in... I mean, to me, the...
Now I feel bad. No, you're right. I take my street capoeira clothes because I don't want to show up and be like, well, here's my rank. I don't want to be that guy. I'm never that guy.
And I don't really want to be that person either, but when I first start going out, crisp whites, clean whites, in the back of the line, see how everything's done, how their protocol is done.
Up until you're invited up front.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And usually I am.
Which is uncomfortable. Guys, I know you guys have been here for longer than I have.
Or like, if I get up for an example, I hate it, but nobody knows it. I I hide it inside, but you want to represent. Because essentially when you're going to other schools, you were representing. Like, I was representing Xingu my first time. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to show that this is where I came from.
You know,
without being a dick.
It's weird because no matter where you go, you represent your school, where your background is. So, for example, for myself, I represent where I came from in Florida, where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think of it as that. It's in the back of my head. I think I'm representing myself. I want these people to remember me X, Y, Z, not, you know, a complete douchebag.
You were not a douchebag.
But I worry about that. Again, because, and maybe this is an LA thing. In Los Angeles, you know, people do capoeira to just pad their IMDb resume.
You really think that?
They do.
What school does that?
No, it's not a school. People. Individuals. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to isolate it to just schools because that's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Certain people do that, and that's fine. For me, again, what we do is art. And I love that I can express myself in this way. I love the fact that I can express myself and represent my teachers, myself, and share with others. Mm-hmm. And learn from others. Because I obviously steal moves. I pretty much all my moves... Oh my god, I was talking to my girlfriend about this. All my moves were stolen from people that are in their 50s and 60s.
I don't even think it's stolen. It's just you...
I made it my own.
Yeah.
One of the best bits of advice that I ever got was from Mr. Batata Capo Basuro. He said... He was specifically talking about being yellow cord. A yellow cord is when you develop who you are. But in capoeira, you're supposed to express yourself. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to exaggerate it. And I'm like, yes, what you're talking to me is the Salvador Dali of capoeira right now. If I'm going to be scared, just exaggerate how scared you are. But come back.
Mm-hmm.
Express yourself. I love that. I love that that's what we do. And when I hear about people trying to limit us...
No, that kills me.
It's sad.
Now that I'm older in the game, I do see that from certain schools, and it's really sad.
Because your first 3-4 years in, you know how to move, you know how to take a kick to the face. Mm-hmm. That's really what you do. You would probably think, oh, that guy's being an asshole. Fuck that guy. And I hate to curse right now, but
that's... You can curse on this show.
No, I understand, but I don't... But you become very aggressive against mm-hmm. things that you don't agree with or even understand. The more you know, big star over the head.
Knowing is half the battle.
Yeah. G.I. Joe! You become sad. You're sad for these people because it's like, that's not what it's about.
Absolutely.
Now, I want to give you a hug. You know?
I felt that from other schools, just in terms of the division. And I can't train there. Or, like, we split up and I have my own school. It's really sad because I feel like the students are losing out. But... Some of them are just so naive, and mm-hmm. they do want to follow their teacher so closely that mm-hmm. they, I guess they have to believe it.
There's obviously a
there's
certain...
There's the faithfulness.
There's, no, even more so, there's an indoctrination that happens, mm-hmm. which is good if it helps you be community-based. Not indoctrination in the sense of, just do what I say, do what I do.
Yeah.
No, hey, this is what I did. I want you to learn this. But if you find something else, show us.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about training with Xingu right now. That's what I love training with my first teacher, Mr. Pelé, because they were very community-based.
Mm-hmm.
Although, yes, we all have our personal biases. And my teacher explicitly said to me, if you're going to go train in LA, don't train with a certain group. And I didn't. And I did for a while, and when I did, I realized, oh, why? No, it just wasn't for me. It wasn't a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
I slowed down. There was no combat involved. I equate what Xingu and my teacher do as Jeet Kune Do, which is effective martial arts. Mm-hmm. We don't have to have this whole long-winded kung fu movement. No, we're strike, strike, strike,
yeah.
strike. And I love that. But on top of that, community.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot say that enough. Community.
No, I remember Xingu saying after a while, you have to give back to the community because the community has given back to you, and that's mm-hmm. part of the responsibility as
yeah.
higher chords of what we have to do. Yeah, oh man. It's funny because, like, I was Xingu's one of Shingu's first female students, mm-hmm. I think, to stick around for so long. And mm-hmm. Definitely there is a big part of... this is going to be sound terrible. Him that's inside of me.
No. Oh, gross.
Not like
that. Whore. All right. I'm kidding. Whores get paid.
But I mean, shut up. But in terms of how the way I conduct myself in class, I do see myself a lot.
You acclimate yourself to what you learn. So, going back to what I said, you take what you get from your teachers, and then you put a little bit of yourself in what you, when you run the classes. Yeah, come on. But you do. You do. You put in that intensity, mm-hmm. That motive. You know, there's this, again, this is an art, and we are supposed to express ourselves. We are supposed to. We're not meant to just reiterate what our teachers taught us. No, we express a version of what we learned from them. You know, we make, they kick a certain way, we're going to do a different way. Mm-hmm. But it's how we learned it with our own little remix to it.
Yes. So how long have you been at Shingu's now?
I have been with Shingu since... there was a debate about this. You said 2008?
2009. I met you in 2008. You didn't join up until... I think
Spring of 2009.
Yes.
Yeah, yep. Spring of 2009.
Like around June, July.
No problem. Really? Mm-hmm. Wow, goodness. So then summer...
Because we didn't start hanging out and like hanging out mm-hmm. as friends till 2010 early.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you and I go way, way back. Like, just outside of Capricorn, like I said in the beginning, mm-hmm. we have cried to each other about our relationships, about everything. Training. We cook together, you know, Food Hoda, trademarked by Jammers and I. Everyone should know this. That's our thing.
Just me and him.
Yeah. Yeah, so since summer of 2009, and I've been...
But I think this is special because this Bocciusato that you're going into, this is Valley's Bocciusato.
The first one, yeah.
I remember you, the first time you technically were with Batsuki was 2013.
Right.
So did you feel weird about that when you were going in? That was a great game, by the way, I remember.
I thought it was okay for me, I got to play two
people. You did your people. Trademark moves.
Yeah, I had you to. Everyone does. I don't care who
everyone
you are.
Everyone has a move.
Everyone does.
And whether I hate to say it, but I even
you're getting your first chord or you're
people.
Becoming
yes.
a contramestre, you're going to do something.
There's something that
I played Mestre Gallego from Sacramento, who has always been so awesome to me, very welcoming, even recognizes me with this disgusting beard, and Shingu, who tried to take my head off. It was strange for me because... Part of the reason we're doing our first Bocciusato was a conversation that I had with Shingu about you should do your own. I don't want to go to a place where I get a court. I want to go to a place where I earned it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's too... Some places get too systematic. It just happens. I'm not criticizing it at all. It just happens. So when I joined Valley Capoeira Batuque, it was tough. It was tough because I felt I was betraying my teacher... I was betraying everything that I had trained to be, but it's just part of the metamorphosis. It's a process. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't always be a caterpillar. Eventually, I have to become a butterfly. And that's a weird way of putting it. But you have to change. You have to grow.
And that's how I think good capoeiristas or real capoeiristas grow is evolution.
I know. I want to touch on what you said. Good capoeiristas, not real. Good. But part of that is being in a place that allows you to grow, to flourish. Shingu definitely welcomed me with all my quirks and idiosyncrasies and says, hey, you got that? Cool. Develop it. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, are you doing that? No. This is a new job. Cut your old bad habits and do this. Which I've been subjected to. And it's sad. It's sad. Years ago, I would talk so much shit about them. Mm-hmm. But now, I look back, and I'm like, that's sad. That's sad, because I wish we still knew each other. I wish I could still come over to your house. I wish you'd come over to my house. And that's not the case. And especially, going back to the Pasadena story, to Contramaestre Jim, it's sad because we come from the same association. My pants, the pants that I still wear, have the emblem of our school, and I still got kicked out. And that still hurts my feelings. Hurts my feelings. I wish him all the best. I hope he's doing well. But I got kicked out because of my loyalty.
Yeah.
Whereas Shingu recognized my loyalty and appreciated it, welcomed it. Just recently, I talked to my teacher 2 weeks ago, Mr. Pella in Fort Lauderdale, and I told him, hey, I'm graduating with this school at the end of the month. I was scared that he was going to be upset, but he congratulated me. My teacher was so strict that that is the best compliment I ever got. He congratulated, and I'm like, oh, who's cutting the onions?
No, when you get to that level, it's very emotional. I remember I remember when Moito sent me a photo of what my cord looked like because they fucked up on it so much. It was either like way too short. It was just way too short. I think it was to the point where they had to actually make it like they had to go practically into the street from his place to make my cord. Somehow I just cut it out.
I don't know why, because you're tiny.
I'm a fucking
You're a slider.
I don't even know how I function at my job.
You're 3'7".
I'm not 3'7", but you're not that far off.
I'm looking at you. You're 3'7". Everyone put that on Wikipedia. Jamie is 3'7".
But, no, I remember getting really emotional. And I know why. It's a big deal. We've been in Capoeira for almost 10 years. Capoeira has pretty much outlived any relationship I've ever fucking been in.
Oh, my God. That's another conversation. Any intimate relationship. That's another conversation.
I've ever been in. I think as Capoeiristas, we put Capoeira before a lot of things, a lot of people.
People talk about blood, sweat, and tears. We literally bleed, sweat, and cry over this.
And, it factors into our lives to where we move, where we take trips.
Our jobs?
Yeah, our jobs. Is it nearby? Can I get to training?
Can I hang out with my old friends?
Exactly.
You can't. You can't. Kind of become alienated because, well, my friends are now these people who use my head as a target. These are the people that I trust. It's tough.
No, it is tough. This year I've transitioned into a new career and I find myself I can't train on the days where there's training.
And you know what sucks about that? You're not just disappointed by that. You're genuinely sad about that.
I am. That was one of the first things I thought about.
It brings you down. You need that endorphin rush. Yeah. Because you literally become depressed. Mm-hmm. You know, taking 2, even 3 days off is challenging.
Being injured is really hard. Mm-hmm. Being sick is really hard. But when shitty things in life happen to you, you know that there's a place where you can forget about that.
Where everybody knows your name.
It's true.
And everybody's glad you came.
Yep. And it's not cheers.
Oh. There should be a capoeira school called Cheers. Trademarked. Don't steal that from me.
Note to self.
Note to self. April 3rd. Note to self. Capoeira Cheers.
But, obviously you know what I'm saying because we are two people that are very serious about this.
We're emotional people, I think. We are. It's laughable. We are silly like that. But we carry our hearts on our freaking sleeves. Again, we have cried with each other, not just with capoeira, but, our personal life. You and I have gone through a lot, and it's not a story that's unfamiliar to a lot of people that hear this. A lot of people have lost friends, lost relationships, family members that don't understand what the hell they're doing. Again, karate ballet. But what we do, I hate to repeat this, what we do is secret, but what we do is for us. And what we do for us, I hope that everyone who hears this does that for community. You know, it doesn't have to just be capoeira. How you do anything is how you should do everything. You know, are you a vibrant person? Do that in the hala, do that in life, do that at your job, unless you hate your job, which, by the way, you should quit. I'm talking to you. Hey. Hey, look at me. No, don't look at me because you can't see me. Quit your job. What are you doing? You know, remember that time that you were happy? Do that. Please. Okay, edit that out. Don't edit that. Edit it, but don't edit it. All right, Toyota's our sponsor, and here's a commercial break.
I'm cooking now, and I find myself that there's lots of parallels to capoeira.
But how long have you been wanting to cook? And how scared were you to do that?
Oh my God, so scared.
You still are, I think.
I still am, but the fact that I'm doing it, I feel so much better.
But you know, like you said, you take capoeira in everything you do. And there's that weird motivator that fear brings.
No, there's a resourcefulness, there's a resilience. And
adaptability.
Yeah, and adaptability. And I think, and I know that my sous chef and my head chef don't want to admit, but I know that they see it in me. And they've even said, like, we see you in the future as being a fucking force. But right now you need to be honed and you need to be disciplined. And from Capoeira and from Xingu, I don't take things that, I let things roll off my shoulder. Mm-hmm. I accept it. I say thank you. Mm-hmm. And I just do what they want me to do.
Because when you actually know how to roll a punch, you roll with the punches.
Yeah. And I think that's what they
you're,
like.
You're like a little, you're like a little Asian Ina Garten.
Oh, God.
I'm a cook for Jeffrey today. I love Jeffrey. Jeffrey, if you're listening,
I don't understand why I'm
not
married, because I do cook like fucking Ina Garten when I'm at home.
Exactly. Except you're not racist. Did I just start a rumor about her? No, she's not. I'm just being a jerk right now.
She actually, she hates kids with cancer. I'm not even going to go into her story.
She hates kids with cancer.
No, I'm not going to go into her story.
Why do you hate kids with cancer?
I don't think anyone really cares about her story, but no, it's true. Capoeira, you take that anywhere you go, everywhere you go.
Yeah.
In life, no. Relationships, people, friends, you learn who to trust, who not to trust.
You know what's funny? And I'm admitting this to myself, but I know people hear this will know what I'm talking about. If you have an office job, when you get off your chair, everyone does this little Jenga move, and you know what I'm talking about. Because you work on your footwork. I hate saying that. That sentence made no sense. But you do.
You do.
Everything you do. You know how to, like, scoot the chair next to you. You know, you're pulling it with your foot. We do it with everything. Everything. Shit, because of capoeira, we all know how to clap better.
We do.
We do, I think. We know how to get the clap better.
Get.
I'm kidding, I know.
Took me a second.
I know.
If you were to say one, if you were to say something like Jerry's final
thought,
what would your final thought be in terms of your, your journey right now up until this point? I mean, because I feel like I said, when I remember my teacher sent a picture of my cord, I remember I was sitting at work just waiting to clock in, and I just remember just being so overwhelmed, and I just started bawling.
I don't have a final thought. I have a thought that will continue on.
But there's this overwhelming feeling of, like, gratefulness and struggle and...
It's just worse than that. It's... Okay, so I've been training for 9 years now, and I'm about to get my monitor cord. I still have a great amount of anxiety, fear. I can't even call it gratefulness because it's more than that. Every time I go to class, no matter how boring I may find it, no matter how intense it is, I'm thankful that I can still move, that I can still express myself in this art and provide something to community. I still don't consider myself advanced. I still consider myself learning every day. I don't even have to be in the studio. Just even in my own personal life, what I do in capoeira comes to my personal life, and what happens in my personal life, I let out in my capoeira. I'm scared. I literally am scared. I am filled with fear. But that fear I use as a motivator to keep coming back, to keep learning, to keep an open mind, to express, to let myself go. And anyone that hears this, you know, you might, whether you're a beginner and you feel like you look awkward doing this, you're supposed to. You're supposed to. Are you scared? Good. Use that as a motivator. If you're advanced, keep that open mind. Keep learning. Keep wanting to learn. I look forward to my tomorrows in this, because I'm not going to train the way I did today the next day. I may plateau, or I may excel, but the fact that I keep nourishing myself with this art makes me feel like a decent person.
And before I end up leaving, he wanted to record one more bit, so go ahead and take a listen.
We're not going to edit any names out or anything like that, only because I want to maintain the honesty of the stories I've said, and mm-hmm. if there's any backlash or contradiction, I want to hear about it so I can address it. Maybe I recall things different,
mm-hmm.
but what I experienced and how I told the story is honest. You know, again, I hold no ill will to any of the teachers that I've been with that just didn't work out,
mm-hmm.
but if they hear this and they want to contact you or myself or our teachers, no, by all means. But I don't mean that in a threatening way or like, come at me, bro. No, I want to have a proper discussion about it because what I went through is what I went through. How I reacted to it is how I reacted to it at the time. I may not react the same way now.
Mm-hmm.
It still hurts my feelings. It hurt my feelings then, but then there was a bit of anger involved. Now, none. No anger, no resentment whatsoever. I just, you know, please don't edit any of this. So, yeah.